أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته الأقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: فاطمة بضعة مني، فمن أغضبها أغضبني. All the praise belongs to Allah, the Supreme Creator and our Lord. And endless peace on all the prophets of God, starting from Prophet Adam, Prophet Noah, Prophet Abraham, Prophet Moses, Prophet Jesus, and the seal of all the prophets, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Our holy prophet has mentioned in his tradition and hadith that Fatima is part of me. Whoever angers her, angers me. Tonight, we are here to commemorate the martyrdom anniversary of the daughter of the Seal of the Messengers and the most beloved in the eyes of the Prophet, that is his daughter Fatima Az-Zahra. And we are blessed to have our honorable guest, according to the wisdom of Allah, their visit is happening on the same occasion as we are mourning the death anniversary of the greatest lady Fatima. It's a pleasure to have all of you respectable guests at our Zenab Center from St. Mark's Church, and our religion teaches us to respect and honor all the neighbors, regardless of their faith, and all the human beings, regardless of their faith. Because the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in his famous tradition, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir fal yukrim jarahu. Whoever believes in God and the final day must respect his neighbor. So we are honored to have you here, and we pray to God that may God increase in his divine blessings on all of you and keep you under his blessings. Our Lady Fatima alayhi salam is so high in her status that according to the hadith of our Holy Prophet, we learn that he has said that Amma ibnati Fatima fahiya sayyidatu nisa'il alameen minal awwalina wal akhirin. As far as my daughter Fatima is concerned, she is the leader of all the ladies from the earlier generations and the later generations. This profile of this greatest lady is certainly the most unique of the profiles, because her father is the one who is the descendant of all the prophets of God and the most superior messenger and the most superior human that God ever created. And his mother is Lady Khadija salamullahi alayha, who has significant attributes, and one of the significant attributes that she has is the fact that at the time she was giving birth to her daughter Fatima, Virgin Mary was sent by Allah miraculously from the paradise to help her out at that event. So this signifies the importance of and the highness of the status of Lady Khadija, the mother of Hazrat Fatima, and also signifies the status and highness of Lady Fatima herself. In addition to that, we learn in the history, as our Holy Prophet Muhammad was departing from his ascension and Mi'raj, our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was invited by God as a special guest 120 times to pay a visit up there in the heavens, and even farther than the heavens, the highest abode and the highest possible place, which is the Arsh, the throne of God, and was shown all the realities of the universe and shown the things the way they are, not the way they seem to be. That's what the Prophet has asked in his prayers and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma arinil ashya'a kama hiya. Oh my Lord, make me see the things the way they are. So the realities of the heavens and earth, which are hidden because of our sins that block us to see those realities, since the Prophet is infallible and never even think about doing any sins like the rest of the prophets in religion Islam, we believe all the prophets of God are infallible and never commit any sins. So because of the highest level of his infallibility and cleanliness of the soul, the Prophet has been invited as a special guest of God 120 times for what we call in Arabic Mi'raj, the ascension. And every time, according to the hadith, when he was there, Allah discussed the issue of the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. As the Prophet was about to depart and come back to this planet, we find the Archangel Jibreel, as he was bidding farewell to Jibreel, he said, "Do you have a need? Do you need something?" In other words, and Gabriel replied, "My need towards you is that say my salam to Khadija." That means as you were heading back to the earth, say my salam to Khadija. So this signifies the fact that the mother of Our Lady Fatima is so important. And we find that her husband, coming back to her profile, her husband is Imam Ali, the first deputy of the Prophet, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of all the faithful, for whom we have the hadith narrated from Hazrat Abu Bakr, that Hazrat Abu Bakr himself narrated this hadith from the Holy Prophet, that لا يجوز أحد الصراط إلا من كتب له علي الجواز. No one can cross the bridge of Sirat, in other words, except the one for whom Ali has written the license. So we learn that there is a bridge crossing over the hellfire with all the human beings. The entire humankind need to cross on the day of judgment in order to reach the paradise. And the license has to be written by Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhim as-salam. Also, if you want to learn more and you turn to the ayat of Holy Quran, وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَسْئُولُونَ. In this verse of Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, we learn in the light of this verse that people will be stopped. Before they can move forward, they will be stopped and held accountable. There will be some accountability taking place. And we have again narration from the famous Sahabi and companion of Rasulullah, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. He says that there will be two angels standing. He narrates that there will be, which I'm paraphrasing the long narration in my own words, that there will be two angels standing on the bridge of Sirat and searching for the jawaz, for searching for the license written by Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and for whomsoever they find the license, they will allow him to cross. So this is the husband of Lady Fatima alayhi salam, who has no peril. And when Prophet Khidr used to come to Prophet Moses, when Prophet Moses went to see Prophet Khidr, because God commanded Prophet Moses to go and see and learn from Prophet Khidr. Obviously, we understand Prophet Khidr was more knowledgeable than Prophet Moses. And Prophet Moses has to travel all the way, reach that place, and where he met Prophet Khidr, alayhim as-salam. And that's where the long story, as you most of you are acquainted with the story mentioned in the Quran. And the same Prophet Khidr who is the teacher of Prophet Moses, taught him wisdom, taught him from the divine knowledge of God, and taught him how to be patient over the things that we do not know. The same Prophet Khidr alayhi salam, the same Prophet, used to come, because we believe in our belief system, Prophet Khidr is still alive, living on the planet Earth, and he will appear in the time when the final deputy of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his family, Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam, will show up. And Jesus Christ, whom we in our belief believe that he is alive, will also come back from the fourth heaven where God has kept him safe. And Jesus Christ, son of Virgin Mary, will pray behind Imam Mahdi. May peace be upon them. So Prophet Khidr is alive, and he used to come sometimes. Sometimes used to show up to Imam Ali to ask questions. The famous hadith narrated by the Sunnis and the Shias alike in their books of hadith, that Prophet has said, "Ana Madinatul Ilmi wa Aliyun Babuha." I am the city of knowledge, and Ali is its gateway. And also the Prophet has said, "Ana Madinatul Hikmati wa hiya al Jannah wa Aliyun Babuha." I am the city of wisdom, which is the paradise, and Ali is its gateway. So Prophet Khidr sometimes used to show up to ask questions from Imam Ali. One of the benefits was to ask questions, some of the questions from Imam Ali, and learn from his knowledge. And we learn in the history that on an occasion, Imam Ali asked him to ask the same question from his young son, Imam Hassan, which is the second Imam, who was just a baby at that time, a young boy. And Prophet Khidr asked the question from Imam Hassan, this young child, who eloquently and confidently answered to his question, and Prophet Khidr became content and walked away. So the same Prophet Khidr, who is the teacher of Prophet Moses, is the student of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. So, well, we've been talking about the ma'sumeen, the infallibles, but let's go to the non-infallibles, the fallible categories of humans, like the khadima, the servant of Lady Fatima, Hazrat Fidda salamullahi alayha. Well, this personality, she is just a servant in the house. And this personality, if you analyze her highness, it will be amazing. A person is in absolute shock when you analyze the highness of this servant who is just living next to Lady Fatima in her house, and the way she leads her life, the way she talks, the way she behaves, her recognition of God, her piety, her nobility, her spirituality, her cleanliness, and her faith. So these things are really shocking to find that how high an infallible person can reach in the spirituality. So Ibn Shahr Ashub rahmatullah alayh, one of our greatest historians, who had been compiling one of the mother books of manaqib, one of the mother books of the fada'il and manaqib and superior attributes of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam, Ibn Shahr Ashub, who died in their Islamic lunar hijra calendar year 588, that's approximately 700 years ago. He is the author of one of the major mother books of manaqib, which is called Manaqib Ali Abi Talib in 4 volumes. So he has narrated this narration from Abdullah ibn Mubarak. He says that I was traveling, got stuck somewhere in the desert, in the jungle, in the middle of nowhere, and I discovered there is a lady in the desert who is also traveling. I went close and I asked her, which I am again paraphrasing this long narration in my own words, I asked her, who are you? And this lady, he's talking about Hazrat Fidla alayhi salam, the servant of Lady Fatima. Obviously he did not know who she is at that time. So he asked her, who are you? And she recited this verse from Surah Az-Zukhruf, verse number 89, وَقُلْ سَلَامٌ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. Say salam and they will know. So he understood what she is trying to say out of this verse of the Quran. Instead of replying back, she is reciting a verse of Quran in the response that shows her knowledge and in-depth research and understandings and her faith and her highness. So she is trying to say that you say salam and you would discover who I am. And then he posed the next question, that why are you wandering here in the desert? And she replied, she recited another verse from Holy Quran, وَمَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهِ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one who can misguide him. And he discovered in the light of this response that she's not wandering, she's traveling for a well-defined destination. And she is guided. She is not misguided. She is not lost. And then he asked the third question, that are you among the humans or the jinns? And then Hazrat Fidla salamullah alayha recites the third verse of Holy Quran from Surah A'raf, verse number 31, where she says, Ya Bani Adama, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. O children of Adam, put your adornment to the time of every worship. To which he said, I understood from in the light of this verse that he's one of the humans. And then I asked her the next question, where are you heading to? And she is always replying through the verses of Quran. And then she replied back, يُنَادَوْنَ مِن مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ. So, which is from the verse of Surah, verse number 44 of Surah Fussilat, referring, which we learned from the light of that verse, that those who do not have the faith, the faithless people, will be called from a far away distance. That's what we learn in the light of the verse. So she's coming from far distance. And then he asked her, that where are you wanting to go? And then she recites another verse of Holy Quran from Surah Ali Imran, verse 97, where she says, لِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Reciting the verse related to the obligation of pilgrimage to Mecca and Hajj. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak says, I understood that she is now heading towards Mecca to perform the Hajj worship. Then he says, I asked her, when did you get separated from the caravan? And she replied back by reciting another verse of Holy Quran from Surah Qaf, verse number 38, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. Certainly we created, Allah says that in this verse, that we have created, certainly we have created the heavens and the earth and what lies between them in 6 days. So he says, I understood that he is separated from the caravan for the last 6 days. And then he says, I asked her, do you want to eat something? Are you hungry? Do you want to have something for food? And she recited another verse from Surah Anbiya, verse number 8. وَمَا جَعَلْنَاهُمْ جَسَدًا لَا يَأْكُلُونَ الطَّعَامُ وَمَا كَانُوا خَالِدِينَ. So the messengers, we did not make the messengers body without consuming the food, and they were never eternal. So he says, I understood, obviously, he needs food. And so then I asked her, why don't you, get on the back of the camel? Why don't you ride the camel? And she replied back by reciting another verse from Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 286, La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah does not oblige a life more than what it can tolerate. So that means he was trying to say that I don't want to harm this animal. It's already, there is a burden on the back of the animal already. We are not here to overburden the animal. Isn't it right? That's inhumane. In Islam, it's forbidden to harm the animals. It's forbidden to harm the plantations. It's forbidden to harm, any insect, any living thing. Even the plantations, with so many people out there in the human society, don't consider to be a living thing, in the sense that because the plants do not move. But in Islam, our religion teaches us that the plantations are also living things, and it is not, we are not supposed to destroy or damage or harm any plant or animal. And so basically she was trying to say that the camel already has a burden on it, and it's not appropriate for a human to now sit on with all that burden on the camel. So then he says, okay, why don't you get on the back of my camel? That means he was riding a camel, he was already sitting on the back of the camel. Why don't you just be the second person sitting on behind my back? And then Hazrat Fidwa Salamullah Alayha recited this verse from Surah Anbiya, verse 22, in the response. لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتَا. If there were gods in the heaven and earth, that means there was more, if there was more than one god in the heavens and earth, it would have been devastated. It would have been destroyed, in other words. So there's only one god. So what she was trying to say is that she's not ready to sit on the camel behind this guy. Obviously, he is non-mahram to her, and it's not permissible. So then she said, okay. He said, okay, I'm going to get off the back of the camel, and why don't you ride the camel instead of me? And when he offered this kind of offer, that's where she replied back by reciting another verse of Holy Quran, that Subhanallah, that's the verse that we read when we travel, isn't it right? We all, our kids read when we travel, when we drive, when we fly. Subhanallah, sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrineen. So, it's all the praise belongs to the one who basically made this thing to be subservient for us. In other words, so we find that they move forward. They started to move in the desert. Finally, they found the caravan from which she got separated. And now that the caravan was found, Abdullah ibn Mubarak says, I asked Hazrat Fidla alayhi salam, so do you have children in your caravan who can, I can call them so they can come and help you out? And that's where she recited to these verses of Quran in the response, Ya Daud, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاكَ خَلِيفَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ. O David, we made you a vicegerent on earth. So, in the second verse, he recited, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Muhammad is nothing but a messenger. The third verse, he recited, يَا يَحْيَا خُذِ الْكِتَابَ بِقُوَّةٍ. O Yahya, O John, grab the book with force. The fourth verse he recited, Ya Musa, Inni Anallah. O Moses, that's the fourth verse he recited. If from the Holy Quran, "O Moses, certainly it's me, Allah." So Abdullah ibn Mubarak says, "I understood that she has four sons, and these are the names of her children: David and Muhammad and John, Yahya, Daud and Muhammad and Yahya and Musa." I went to the caravan, I called her children, they showed up, and that's where, so she recited this verse of Holy Quran, that Al-Malu wal-Banun zinatul hayat al-dunya, informing her that these are her children. Wealth and children are the adornment of the life of dunya. Wal-Baqiyatu salihat, and the remaining good deeds that remain are obviously have better reward in the in the eyes of Allah, and they are better in terms of the reward. And finally he says that I saw Lady Fidwa talking to one of her sons, and again she was not talking, she was reciting another verse of Holy Quran, and she said, "Ya abate ista'jirhu inna khayra man ista'jarta al-qawiyul amin." That's the verse that the daughter of Prophet Shu'aib, that's the statement narrated by Quran from the daughter of Prophet Shu'aib, who was talking to her father regarding Prophet Moses. When Prophet Moses visited the city of Mada'in from his hometown, and this daughter is now asking her father to hire Prophet Moses to take care of the sheep, of the herd that they used to have. So she is reciting this verse of Holy Quran, and her son understood that my mom is actually trying to say that I need to pay something to this guy who helped me out so much. So he paid me some money, some wealth, basically this is just a short story that we learn about the greatness of Lady Fidwa, who is living in the house of Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam for just few years of companionship. She was gifted by the Holy Prophet to Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam in the Islamic Hijra calendar year 7, and 11th is the year of the martyrdom of Lady Fatima, isn't it right? So it's just like all those 3 years of time that this lady is spending in the house of Lady Fatima, and you can find that she has reached so high level that now she can walk and talk the Holy Quran. So this is not only that, but we find that she can, she is now mustajabatu da'wah. If she can pray to Allah for something, it is going to happen. Remember the incident when the Holy Prophet came into the house of Imam Ali, and in the month of Ramadan, and they were all fasting, obviously. Imam Ali invited the Holy Prophet for iftar, for breaking the fast. And next day Hazrat Fatima invited, and the next day Imam Hassan invited him, and the next day Imam Hussain invited him. And as Prophet was leaving the house for the next night, Hazrat Fidwa invited him. And she did not inform Hazrat Fatima, so she did not prepare any food for him, for the Prophet. So we find when Prophet showed up at the time of iftar, there was no food in the house. And Hazrat Fatima said to her, "Why didn't you let us know?" She said, "I'm going to bring the food with the barakat of you, Ahlul Bayt." And she went to her side and she put her head into the sajda and she prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the narration, sent down the Ridwan al-Jannah, the archangel of paradise, the guardian angel of paradise, to bring the food from the paradise for Fidwa salamullah alayha's respect, and also obviously for the respect of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. above all. So this is the status of the servant. This is the status of the servant of Lady Fatima. So we can understand what is the highness of this lady. Since the time, the verse which I recited in the beginning of my speech, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لَيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسِ, Allah wishes only to remove all the unclean from you, Ahlul Bayt, and وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ, and to make you clean, tathira, the way it has to be done, in the perfect way, in other words. So they belong to the level of the perfect cleanliness. After the revelation of this verse, now we have this narration narrated from Sunnis and Shia sources alike, and we have this narration narrated from 300 or so sources, and narrators are informing that after the verse was revealed, Prophet used to come every morning before saying his Fajr prayers, as he's heading towards the mosque to say his Fajr prayers. Before he goes to the mosque, first he comes to the door of Hazrat Fatima, and she said, "Assalamu alaikum ya Ahlul Bayt." Salam on you, O Ahlul Bayt. So every morning Prophet is doing this behavior, which is making it clear who are the Ahlul Bayt which are mentioned in the verse of Holy Quran. Hazrat Salama says that this verse was revealed in my hujra, in my room. And when I asked the Prophet that for whom the verse was revealed, Prophet named these five, obviously, Prophet Muhammad and Imam Ali and Hazrat Fatima and Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. Some narrators say, this guy says, I was in the city of Medina after this verse was revealed, Ayatul Tathir was revealed. For the next 6 months, I saw every day Prophet showing up at the door of Hazrat Fatima and reciting this verse. Another narrator says, I saw him for the next 6 months. Another one says, I was in Medina for the next 9 months. So this guy probably left the city of Medina and Hijaz after 3 months. The second one probably have left the city of Medina after 6 months. And the third guy says, I was there in the city for the next 9 months. So I saw Prophet coming for the next 9 months and reading that verse at the door of Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam. So you can obviously understand that was how Prophet has been introducing, emphasizing, signifying the importance of the issue of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, their taharat, their cleanliness, their infallibility, because this verse is one of the clearest evidences about the fact that the Ahlul Bayt are infallible. Well, they deserve to be infallible when the mistake of Prophet Adam, obviously we believe the Prophets don't do sins, but it is what we call tarkul awla, something that was better to be avoided, but he did not. So this mistake of Prophet Adam took him out of the paradise. In the narration we learned, in the light of the verse, فَتَلَقَّ آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتِ, Adam received from his Lord words. In other words, we find that in the hadith that Amir Mumin has said, سَأَلْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فَتَلَقَّ آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ, I asked Prophet, may peace be upon him and his family, about the statement of God, فَتَلَقَّ آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ, and Prophet said, and he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَهْبَطَ آدَمَ بِالْهِنْدِ, God sent down Adam at India, Hind, وَحَوَّى, and Eve, Hawa, was sent بِجَدَّ, at Jeddah, حَتَّى بَعَثَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ جِبْرَئِيلِ, until Allah sent towards him the archangel sent to him, Jibreel, Gabriel, and said, وَقَالَ يَا آدَمْ أَلَمْ أَخْلُقْكَ بِيَدِي. Jibreel, Gabriel came, and obviously he's talking on behalf of God, that God is saying to Prophet Adam, didn't I create you with my hand? And we find Jibreel, Gabriel said, أَلَمْ أَنْفُخْ فِيكَ مِنْ رُوحِي. Didn't I blow into you from my soul? قَالَ بَلَى. Adam replied, yes. قَالَ فَمَا هَذَا الْبُكَاءِ. Then why the cry? Why this cry? Once. He said once. قَالَ وَمَا يَمْنَعُنِي مِنَ الْبُكَاءِ وَقَدْ أُخْرِجْتُ مِنْ جِوَارِ الرَّحْمَانِ. Basically, he was trying to say, in other words, that I'm crying because I'm taken out of the neighborhood of God, who is Rahman, neighborhood of Rahman. Allah said, فَعَلَيْكَ بِهَاُولَاءِ الْكَلِمَاتِ. It's your responsibility to basically, in other words, focus on those words. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَابِلٌ تَوْبَتَكَ وَغَافِرٌ ذَنْبَكَ. Because Allah certainly is going to accept your tawbah and forgive your sin. And then Gabriel said to him, قُلْ يَا آدَمْ. Say, O Adam, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ بِحَقِّ مُحَمَّدْ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدْ. سُبْحَانَكَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ عَمِلْتُ سُوءًا وَظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. فَاغْفِرْ لِي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. فَهَؤُلَاءِ الْكَلِمَاتِ الَّتِي تَلَقَّى آدَمُ. So Jibreel said to him that, O Adam, O my Lord, I ask you certainly for the haqq of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, Muhammad and his family. So the repentance of Prophet Adam was accepted by God because of the great names of Prophet Muhammad and Ali and Fatima and Hassan and Hussein. Likewise, if you move forward to the time of Prophet Noah, when his ship was in the storm and the whole earth, the whole planet was drowned in this punishment from God over those unfaithful people misbehaving towards Prophet Noah and the God's teachings, we find finally this, the boat of Prophet Noah was helped by the name of the same five greatest personalities, Muhammad and Ali and Fatima and Hassan and Hussein. It was an honor for the angels to come and visit the house to get the privilege from God and the permission of God to come down and pay a visit to the house of the greatest lady Fatima. And sometimes she's praying. She used to pray a lot, and her feet used to get, she used to pray throughout the night. Praying throughout the night, just like on the footsteps of her father. And she used to pray for her neighbors instead of praying for herself. Look at the great morality we learn. The Islam teaches us, you give preference to your neighbors over yourself. If you love for others what you love, not just do towards them what you love them to do towards you. I think that's a simpler statement. Islam says, love for them what you would love for yourself. Because when you love something, there's higher than just doing it. Isn't that right? So whatever you love for yourself, your beloved behaviors, do your beloved behavior towards other people. And Lady Fatima has taught us, she was praying in the altar, in the mihrab throughout the night. And Imam Hassan, her first son, says, I was witnessing my mother, and all she was praying was for the neighbors. Throughout the night, she did not do a single prayer for her own self from God. So she's asking prayers for the sake of her neighbors. So look at the great behavior that we learned, that how we are supposed to behave towards our neighbors in Islam, and how much importance that holds in the eyes of Allah. So when sometimes she was praying, an angel comes to basically help her, moving the cradle for her baby. The baby is lying in the cradle that needs attention too. There, and sometimes she is reciting the Holy Quran, and another angel, some angel is shaking the cradle of the baby, some angel is grounding the handmill to help her out in that matter. The angel who is shaking the cradle is Jibreel, Gabriel. The angel who is working on the handmill is Angel Uqabil. So the angels of Allah feel their pride in serving this lady. So where in the world can we find examples of humans like this who are served on daily basis by some of the greatest angels of Allah, the greatest angels of Allah that Allah had ever created? We find whenever Prophet used to leave the city of Medina for whatever reason, the history says the last thing he would do is to come at the doorstep of Hazrat Fatima. The last person Prophet would say salam to is his daughter Fatima. And arriving from his travels and trips, coming back to his city of Medina, the first thing that Prophet would do before doing anything else is go straight to the house, to the door of his daughter Fatima, and saying salam to her. This is the respect that the Prophet has taught the entire Islamic Ummah towards this greatest lady. And unfortunately, this lady who is at the peak and climax of all the spiritual values that the humanity holds, we find that this lady has been subjected to the worst of the crimes, insults and oppressions in the history. So much that she herself ended up saying in her own bit of poetry, "Subbat alayya masa'ibun law annaha subbat ala al-ayyam sirna layaliya." So, which we learn in the light of this, that if I face so many troubles, that if those troubles had befallen on the days, it would have got converted into nights. Days would get converted into nights if those turmoils and masaib had fallen on them. So she used to cry with all the pains and sufferings that she went through. At the time of her shahadat and martyrdom, she was 18. And when her father, our Holy Prophet, was passing away, she was there. Prophet was crying in the final moment. And when he was asked, Prophet said, "I'm crying over what is going to happen to my children. What the Ummah is going to do after me. And as if I see that they're doing zulm over Fatima and after me." And she's crying and calling Ya Abata, calling her dad, calling the dad, but no one comes to help her. Prophet was so much worried about his daughter, and so much cared and so much loved about his daughter. And we find that Hazrat Fatima started to cry, and when Prophet inquired, Prophet said, "Don't cry." She said, "I'm not crying over what is going to happen to me. I'm crying over my mufaraqat, crying over the mufaraqat, that I'm getting separated from you. Then you're leaving this world." Then Prophet said something to her, and that's where she got pleased by hearing that news. And that basharat that Prophet gave to her was, you will be, oh my daughter, you will be the first one to join me among my Ahlul Bayt. So she is the first Shahida among Ahlul Bayt and the first martyr in the list of martyrs of Ahlul Bayt. She is the first martyr who was joining the Holy Prophet, her father, soon after his Shahada. There are two different narrations. One informs us 75 days. The other one talks about 100 days. 100 days of survival only after the Shahadat of Rasulullah. And Muhaddis Qummi has mentioned that wasiyyat. For 40 days she was severely ill. And she did her wasiyyat. She sent Umm Ayman and Asma bint Umays to bring Imam Ali, and as Imam Ali showed up, she started to do her wasiyyat about the izdiwaj with Imama, about the fact that make a nash for me, the kind of tabut that, you know, that Umm Ayman or Asma bint Umays, one of the two, had told her about the Habasha, how they used to do in Habasha, and they put a tabut so the body is not visible when the janaza is carried. And don't allow those people who did zulm on me to participate in the janaza. And the same is exactly how Imam Ali alayhi salam did. He did not allow anyone who did zulm on Hazrat Fatima to be participating in her janaza, because they are the dushman, they are the enemies. They are my enemies and the enemies of Rasulullah. And don't allow any of their followers to be participating in my funeral, my janaza. And also she did her wasiyyat that her funeral be conducted in the night and when the eyes are sleeping. And we find the same was done. Abu Zar, rahmatullah alayh, came out of the house as the people were gathered in Medina around the house when the news of the Shahadat of Hazrat Zahra spread out. People gathered around the house. Abu Zar came out and said, the janaza has been delayed. So after hearing that news, people got dispersed. And late in the night, when the janaza was taken out, we find there were handful of Ashab and Ahlul Bayt who were participating in this janaza in the night. And Imam Ali alayhi salam intentionally, Muhaddis Qummi says, has dug up 7 graves around her grave. Obviously Imam Ali alayhi salam did not want those enemies to dig up the grave and do the zulm. She was Hazrat Zahra even after her death, because those evil people do not spare nobody. Isn't it right? We find that Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam is still mazloom. And still we find that her grave is still unknown and still undiscovered. So basically this behavior of zulm and oppression still continues towards Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam, despite the fact of her being the highest of all the ladies. We find that obviously Imam Ali alayhi salam was very, very sorrowful. There was no parallel towards the sorrow of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He himself has said in his statement, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Bismillah wa billahi wa ala billati Rasulullah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi sallam tuki ayyutuha as-siddiqa ila man huwa awla biki minni. Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he was burying Hazrat Fatima, he made these remarks that I am giving you, or the Siddiqa, to someone who is awla towards you than me. Wa raditu laki bima radiyallahu ta'ala laki. I am pleased about you with what Allah is pleased about you. And then Imam Ali started to read this verse of Holy Quran, Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. Allah has created, we have created from the soil, and towards the soil we are going to return them back, and we are going to take them out again from the soil. In other words, we find that he started to put the soil over her, and the water was started to be put over the grave, and Abbas, his uncle, came forward and took him away from the grave. As Imam Ali al-Salam was burying Hazrat Fatima, Hazrat Fatima al-Salam received so many injuries, because this zalim person, when he crushed her between the door and the wall and burned the door of Hazrat Fatima al-Salam, and she was being crushed between the door and the wall, and obviously she was pregnant with Hazrat Muhsin alayhi salam, and she had the miscarriage. And look at the sabr of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. Look at the great sabr of Hazrat Zahra in those situations, which is one of the hardest times for a lady. And we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam also had to do the sabr when he saw that situation. You know, the same Imam Ali al-Salam, who is the Fatih of Khaybar, he is the conqueror of Khaybar and the conqueror of Hunayn and Uhud and Badr and all those other incidents of Islam, we find the same Imam Ali al-Salam is doing sabr at that occasion. One of the disbelievers in God, it is narrated in the history, when he saw the sabr of Imam Ali al-Salam, he converted into Islam. And he said, I saw the same person with all his conquests at the occasion of those events. And I now am seeing how he is doing his sabr and patience, which is the greatest delil of him being on the right path. So he embraced Islam because of the patience of Imam Ali al-Salam. So Imam Ali al-Salam is one of the hardest tests that you can imagine, that he has been doing sabr towards what is going on with his wife, you know, against from those zalim people doing the zulm against Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. We find that Hazrat Fatima never talked to those people. Isn't that right? Ibn Qutayba, one of the famous historians, has mentioned that they showed up with Imam Ali al-Islam in the house, and she turned her face away and did not talk to them until لَمْ تَتَكَلَّمْ حَتَّى مَاتَتْ, did not talk to them until she died. So till the last moments of her life, she did not even like to talk to those people. Look at her greatness and nobility and her principles and values, unbending behavior towards the moral and spiritual values of humanity and divinity. So we find that this is how Hazrat Fatima has led us by the example. And we find that Prophet has already said, remember the hadith which I recited in the beginning of my speech, in Allah yaghzabu, from Sahih al-Bukhari, in Allah yaghzabu li ghazabi Fatima wa yarza li ridaha. Allah becomes pleased with the pleasure of Fatima, and Allah becomes angry over the anger of Fatima. This is what Sahih Bukhari has narrated. And so somebody whose pleasure and anger is a criteria in the eyes of Allah for becoming angry or being pleased, this has to be somebody who is madhar al-akmal, somebody whose most perfect reflection of all the attributes of Allah to be like this. When Imam Ali al-Islam is laying down Hazrat Zahra in her grave, we find in the history, Muhaddis Qummi says, two of the hands miraculously showed up from the grave, which were similar to the hands of Rasulullah. And Prophet and Imam Ali al-Islam delivered the body of Hazrat Zahra into those hands that showed up. I would like to say to Hazrat Zahra that certainly you are an extremely mazloom person in the entire history of humanity, despite the fact that you were so noble and pious. But we find that when we find that at least your janazah is carried, although the janazah was carried in the night time, not in the daytime, but at least the janazah was carried by some close people were present, and Imam Ali was there to do all the services of the funeral of yours. Imam Ali was there to bury you with the great respect that he showed, and he did. And you know, your burial took place with all the azamat and sha'an. But let's go and pay a visit to Karbala and see how Imam Hussain alayhi salam is suffering.
In the final moments of Imam Hussein's life, we find Imam Hussein's janaza is lying over the Maidan of Karbala. For 3 days there is no one ready to give the ghusl and kafan to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. For the 3 days we find the janaza of Abi Abdullah alayhi salam is lying there in the desert winds. And there is nobody to serve Imam Hussein and perform his funeral services. And now Hazrat Fatima, the same lady, she shows up and she says to Hazrat Zainab, "I have a big news for you." And I'm paraphrasing these narrations. And she said, "I don't have any big news after the shahadat of my brother Imam Hussein." And after the shahadat of Imam Hussein, she said. And then Hazrat Fatima, when she informs Hazrat Zainab that they are trying to crush the janaza under the hooves of the horses. God knows what was the feeling of Hazrat Zainab when she heard that news about Imam Hussein. About Imam Hussein, that his janaza is now about to be crushed under the hoofs of the horses. فَقَامَ أَشْرَةُ فَوَارِسِ 10 of the horses were prepared. We find that people took away the different tribesmen, they took away their janazas of different shuhada, because they had the people of their tribe were present in Karbala to take the janazas of their people away safely. But Imam Hussein, since he does not have any person of his tribe, any person to support him, there is no supporter of Imam Hussein present at that time. His janaza is the only janaza lying there in the Maidan of Karbala. And then we find that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, obviously Imam Sajjad came miraculously to give the ghusl and kafan later on, but the test of the Imam Hussein is still there, and the test of Ummat was still there, and how Imam Hussein alayhi salam is subjected. And not just that, but in the history we find that even the cloth that he was wearing, remember when he came to his sister Hazrat Zainab and asked her to bring the same shirt that his mother Hazrat Fatima had sewn with the hands, and you know, aitini bi sawbin atiq aj'alhu tahta siyabi li alla ujarrada ba'da qatli. Imam Hussein had come to Hazrat Zainab and asked her to give her the cloth that Hazrat Fatima had sewn. So he cannot be, you know, the cloth cannot be taken away from his body, and the body doesn't go bare in front of the people, isn't it right? So we find Imam Hussein is wearing the cloth, the sabun atiq that Hazrat Fatima had sewn for him, and even that cloth had been taken away. We find Imam Hussein's janaza and all the tabarrukat have been stolen away from Imam Hussein. We find that finally when Imam Hussein is lying in the Maidan of Karbala, and Hazrat Zainab is standing at the Timme Zainabiyya in the final moments, and we find that they were, the shimr is sitting over the chest of Imam Hussein to slaughter Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Hazrat Zainab is witnessing and did not stay silent over the zoom and protesting over the zoom by saying to her Ibn Sa'd, أَيُقْتَلُ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَنْتَ تَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ. In other words, Imam Hussein is being killed and you are watching. And we find Imam Hussein's head was raised over the spear, and Zuljana came back. Zuljana came back to inform the rest of the members of Ahlul Bayt, and then some of the ladies and children surrounded Zuljana. Zuljana was very courteous towards Imam Hussein anyway, because he kneeled down when he discovered that Imam Hussein is so much injured that he cannot go step down towards the ground. He kneels down to facilitate Imam Hussein, so Imam Hussein's body can be easily coming over the ground. Now the Zuljana comes back and informs the Ahlul Bayt that Hussein ibn Ali, in his own ways, is informing the Ahlul Bayt that Hussein ibn Ali is killed. Our salam to the janaza without the head, and our salam to the heads that were raised over the spears, and our salam to those ladies who came out of the qiyam, latimat al-wujuh, nashirat al-shu'ur, you know, beating the faces and the hair being open. Assalam, assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah al-Husayn.
لا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين. فسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. يا الله 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 يا الله. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين تسيم الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. يا حسين يا حسين.